Word of God to the book of Philippians. The third chapter of the book of Philippians is where we'll be this afternoon. Philippians chapter number 3, and preach to you for a little while, and hopefully I'll be an encouragement to somebody, and hopefully somebody will get some help and get some desire and maybe get a closer walk with the Lord through the message. But you be praying for me, and I'll give you what God's given to me. If you're in Philippians chapter 3 and you want to stand, I'll ask you to do that. If you can't stand, I'll understand. That's no problem. But if you want to stand and stretch your legs, that'd be good. And we'll read the 4th verse down through the 10th verse where we'll find our thought for this afternoon. Paul says in Philippians chapter 3 in verse number 4, he said, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath thereof, he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the 8th day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. And be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. And these next few words are my thought for tonight. Paul said in verse 10, that I may know Him. That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. I want to preach for a few minutes tonight on the thought, the joy of knowing Christ. Father, help us, we pray in this moment. We ask for the presence of the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. When Paul begins the third chapter of the book of Philippians, he does so in verse number 1 by reminding them of the theme of this book. And the theme of the book of Philippians undoubtedly is the joy of the Lord. And he writes in verse 1, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. Over and over again, Paul mentions this thought of joy when writing to the Philippians. In this epistle, Paul rejoiced when he thought of this church. He rejoiced in his calling as a minister of Jesus Christ. He had joy when he thought of the like-mindedness of these believers. And on it goes. Over and over again, Paul rejoices and full of joy. But when you get to the middle part of the third chapter of Philippians, I think that you find what is undoubtedly the greatest joy in the life of the apostle. And it is the joy, according to verse 10, of knowing Jesus Christ. In fact, in the verses leading up to verse number 10, Paul gives us a long list of achievements that he had accomplished in his life. He was a Pharisee. He was blameless. He was the tribe of Benjamin, circumcised the 8th day. And his achievements go on and on. But none of those compared in the life of Paul to the joy of knowing Jesus Christ. In fact, Paul says, when I think of all the things that I've accomplished and when I think of all the things that I've done in this flesh, he said, I count them but dung, verse 8, for the excellency of knowing Jesus Christ. He said, to know Christ is the greatest desire of my life. It is the deepest longing of my soul. It is the greatest goal that I have. To Paul, knowing Jesus Christ was the greatest joy that he had ever experienced. May I say to each of us tonight that I believe that the greatest desire of every child of God should be the desire of knowing Jesus Christ. And the greatest joy of every child of God should be the joy of knowing Jesus Christ. Now, our world is filled with men and women that are looking for and longing for things that will make them happy. In fact, many people begin to question their lives and question their circumstances, and they think, if my circumstances could just be different, then maybe I would be happy. Someone would say this, if I just had a new outfit, I'd be happy. Maybe if I had a new car or a new house, then I could be happy. Maybe if I had a new job, then I would be happy. Maybe if I had a new spouse, then I could be happy. Maybe if I had different parents, then I could be happy. You see, people think and they imagine, oh, if my life were just different in this way, then I could finally have the happiness that I am missing. Solomon went through these same things. In fact, Solomon testified in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter number 2, and verse 4 down through 11, and this is what he said. He said, I made me great works. I builded me houses. I planted me vineyards. I made me gardens and orchards. I planted trees in them of all kinds of fruits. I made me pools of water to water wherewith the wood that bringeth forth trees. I got me servants and maidens. I had servants born in my house. Also, I had great possessions of great and small cattle above all that were in Jerusalem before me. I gathered me also silver and gold and the peculiar treasure of the kings of the provinces. I got me men singers and women singers and all the delights of the sons of men as musical instruments of that of sorts. And so I was great and increased more than all that were before me in Jerusalem. Also my wisdom remained in me. And whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from me. I withheld not my heart from any joy, for my heart rejoiced in all my labors. And this was my portion of my labor. But then he testifies in verse 11 and says, and then I looked on all the works my hands had wrought, on the labor that I had labored to do, and behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit, and there is no profit under the sun. Solomon said, I had everything that you could imagine. I had more than anybody else could have. Anything my heart desired, I got it. But he said, when I looked at everything that I had, it didn't make me happy. It wasn't real joy. You see, there's nothing in this life that can bring us joy, but there is one thing that I find that can bring us joy. In fact, there's one thing that can satisfy the soul. Paul wrote about it in Philippians 4 and 8 when he said, finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true and whatsoever things are honest and whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. You see, I believe that Jesus Christ is the thing that can make us happy. For Jesus Christ is true. Jesus is honest. Jesus is just. He is pure. He is lovely. He is virtuous. He is worthy. He and He alone is able to give us the joy that we desire. Nehemiah looked at the people of Israel in Nehemiah chapter number 8 and verse number 10, and this is what he said. He said, the joy of the Lord is your strength. There may be somebody listening to this message and you say, preacher, I am saved, but I don't have joy. Why am I not happy? You see, the joy that Paul is talking about in chapter 3 when he said, rejoice in the Lord in verse 1. The joy that he is rejoicing in is not just the salvation of the soul. It is more than that. It is deeper than that. It is the joy of knowing Jesus Christ in a real way. In a personal way, in a deep way. Tonight, I want to give you three or four things out of this chapter. If we are going to know Christ, if we are going to know the joy of Jesus Christ, there are four things that we're going to have to do. We'll find them in our text. Maybe you want to write them down. Write this down if you're taking notes. Number one, I want you to write down the word fellowship. I want you to write down the word fellowship. Paul said in Philippians 3:10, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. If you and I are going to know Christ, then it must go beyond salvation. Paul was saved, yet there was something inside of him that longed for something more, that longed for something deeper. He did not want to just be saved. He wanted a real walk with Jesus Christ. He wanted something meaningful. He wanted something personal. He said, I want to know him. This was after salvation. He said, I want to know him. I want a fellowship with him. I want to have something real with him. He said, that I may know him. All of us know that there are different kinds of knowing somebody, do we not? All of you know me, and I know all of you. But can I say there are three people here tonight that know me better than probably the rest of you know me. You know why? Because they live with me. My wife and my daughters, they live in the same house I live in. They see me when I'm up and they see me when I'm down. They know what it takes to make me happy and they know what it takes to make me upset. They know me, you see. They know me greater than anybody else because they walk with me every day. They live with me every day. They talk to me every day. They know me. And that is what Paul is saying in verse 10 when he said, I want a fellowship with him. I want to know him. He's saying, I want something more than the superficial knowledge of him. I want something more than the head knowledge of him. Paul said, I want to know him in a real way. In fact, he said it like this. He said, I want to know the highest of highs when it comes to Christ. He said, I want to know the power of his resurrection. He said, but I want to know him in the lowest of lows. He said, I want a fellowship in his sufferings. He said, I want to know Jesus Christ in a different way, in a deeper way. I want to know him. And can I say that should be our desire? We should have a desire to fellowship with him. Paul said, I really want to know him. I think, unfortunately, that most Christians believe that salvation is the end of the Christian experience. But salvation is not the end. Salvation is the beginning. Salvation is a great big step. It takes a big step of faith to be saved. But can I say that one step is not the only step? It's a great big step, but it leads to little steps that we are to take every single day. We are to be walking with Christ every day. Every day when we get up out of the bed, we take one big step, don't we? We step out of the bed. But hopefully that's not the last step you take that day. You walk to the bathroom and you brush your teeth. You walk to the kitchen and you get some coffee. You walk to the job or you walk to the car and then drive to the job. But you know what I'm saying? You start the day with one step, but then you continue to walk day and all day long. Hey, that is what we must do with Jesus Christ. We must to know him. We are going to have to walk with him every day. In the Bible, we learned that Adam walked with God, did he not, in the Garden of Eden? Enoch walked with God. Noah walked with God. And in like manner, you and I, if we are going to know God, if we're going to know the joy of Jesus Christ, then we are going to have to determine that we will walk with God every day. When you go home this afternoon and you set your Bible where it is, wherever it is that you set it on the shelf at the house, don't let that be the last time you use your Bible until you come back next Sunday. Get it out and read it this week. Don't let, when we prayed just a moment ago in the altar, don't let that be the last time you pray this week. When you think about the message tonight, don't let that be the last time you think about Jesus Christ this week. Walk with him every day. Talk with him every day. Let him talk to you every day. Fellowship with him. That should be your longing. That should be your goal. That you should want to know him. I see that word fellowship in verse number 10. If we're going to know the joy of Christ, there must be fellowship. Number two, if we're going to know the joy of Jesus Christ, number two, I want you to write this word down. It is the word forget. not just the word fellowship, but the word forget. Look at verse 13. Paul said, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things that are behind, I reach forth unto those things which are before." Paul now tells us that as he learned Jesus Christ, it was more than just fellowship, it was a choice to forget. Paul said that he had learned to forget those things that were behind him so that he could reach for those things that were ahead of him. In fact, if you read the next verse, you'll see that Paul uses an illustration to explain this, and it is the illustration of a runner. He said that a man that runs, he said he does not look behind. He said he presses toward the mark. He said, "I press to the mark or the prize of the high calling of God in Jesus Christ." Have you ever noticed something? I've noticed this. You ever notice that when someone is running and they look behind them, it always slows them down? You ever notice in a football game, there'll be that running back or that receiver, and they'll get the football, and they'll be all by themselves in the wide open field, and they'll be running toward the end zone, but all of a sudden, they start looking over their shoulder to see if anybody's there about to tackle them. And you know what happens? It slows them down, and they usually do get tackled because they were looking behind them. You know what Paul is saying in verse 13 and 14? He said, spiritually speaking, if we are going to know Christ, the joy of knowing Christ, he said, we are going to have to teach ourselves to stop looking in our past. Stop looking back there, he said. Look ahead. Forget yesterday. Look to tomorrow. Look ahead of you. Look to the prize. Look to Jesus. Stop looking at yesterday. The reason that some Christians are not walking with Christ as they should and certainly do not have joy is because they are constantly looking back over their shoulders. They are so focused on yesterday that they cannot see the prize of knowing Jesus Christ today. Notice what Paul says in verse number 6. He said, concerning zeal, persecuting the church. You see, I believe that when Paul thought of yesterday, he said, you know, I need to forget the mistakes of yesterday. He said, I persecuted the church. If I'm going to gain Christ, if I'm going to win Christ, I've got to forget about my mistakes that I've made in the past. Paul had made a lot of mistakes in his past. And I really believe as I've read through the Pauline epistles, I believe some of those mistakes haunted him. I believe he would probably lay up at night in bed and think about those days before he knew Christ. He was ashamed of who he used to be. I do not think that Paul was exaggerating when he said, I'm the chief of sinners. I think he really believed that. That's what he thought in his soul. He believed that. And those things haunted him. He said, but if I continue to look at those, I'll never win Christ. If I continue to focus on yesterday, I'll never win today. So I've got to forget the things that are behind. There are a lot of people that are miserable because they can't get over their yesterdays. They're constantly beating themselves up over something they did last month or last year or 10 years ago. And yesterday's mistakes are keeping them from the joy that God has for them today. But this is interesting. If you read chapter 3, you'll find that Paul not only mentions mistakes, but he mentions a lot of successes. He said in verse 4 through 7, he said, that I might also have confidence of the flesh. If any other man thinketh that he have whereof, he may trust in the flesh. I more. And then he begins to list his achievements. You see, it was not only mistakes of yesterday that Paul had to forget. It was some of the successes of yesterday he had to forget. You see, the Christian life is not the life of yesterday. It is the life of the next moment. Just like there's danger in being so focused on yesterday's mistakes, there's also the danger of being too focused on yesterday's success. You all probably know this. I think most of you know this. You know that I work in commission sales. I'm a salesperson. And you know something that I've noticed over the 20 plus years of working in sales is usually, not always, but usually if somebody has a really good month, they sell a lot, they do really well, there seems like they're closing lots of jobs, they'll be so busy with all that they've done in this one really good month that they at some point put it into cruise control. And usually the month after the really good month is a really bad month. You know why? They're so focused on the success of this month, they forget they still got to work to achieve goals the next month. You know what I've discovered? I've discovered that there are many people that can tell you what God did for them in their past, but they're not doing anything for God today. I couldn't tell you how many times you've knocked on doors, I've knocked on doors, and invite people to church, and they'll say something like this: I used to be a deacon in the church over here. I used to be a Sunday school teacher. I used to go to this church, and I used to go to that church. I used to be a preacher. And the question is, that's wonderful that you used to be a deacon and you used to be a Sunday school teacher. The question is, what are you doing for God today? This is true of churches. Oh, preacher, I remember when we used to shout it out of the church. That's good. Why don't you shout now? Oh, I remember that revival we had all those years ago. Well, what's God going to do for us today? I remember when it used to be packed out. Well, hey, who are you going to invite to pack it out today? You see, we have to treat mistakes and success the same way. We have to learn from it, and then we got to move forward. Because if our eyes are always on yesterday, we'll not know Jesus Christ today. It's the word fellowship. There's the word forget. Number three, I want you to write down the word follow. Write down the word follow. Verse 17, brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an ensample. For many walk, of whom I've told you often and now tell you even weeping, they are enemies of the cross of Christ. And this is interesting. We can all see how in order to experience the joy of knowing Christ, we must strive for a closer walk. We can see that. We can see how we must forget the past and live in today. We can see that. But now Paul teaches us that in order to have the joy of knowing Christ, we must pay attention to who we associate ourselves with. You see, who you are around impacts your walk with Jesus Christ. Paul tells us in verse 17 and verse 18 who to be around and who to stay away from. He said, be a follower of me and stay away from troublemakers. There are some people that will bring you closer to Christ, and there are some people that will draw you away from Christ. Who you associate with affects your relationship with the Lord. Do you realize that? That's exactly right. You see, it's going to be hard for me to have a close walk with Jesus and constantly be around those people that walk contrary to the ways of Christ. Jesus described the Christian life as two paths, did he not? Or the walk of life as two paths. He said one path is narrow and it's straight and it leads to life everlasting. He said one path is broad and it's wide, it's crooked, and it leads to destruction. And he taught them that teaching, you can't be on both paths at the same time. You're on one or the other. You cannot be on both. I cannot physically be in two places at one time. I can't walk down this aisle and be walking down that aisle at the same time. I physically can't do it. But do you know what? I spiritually can't do it either. I can't hold hands with the world or somebody in this world and walk this way with them and walk with Christ at the same time. You see, who I am around, who I associate with, affects my walk with Jesus Christ. I can't walk the world's path and walk the Lord's path at the same time. Paul gives them two people that they should associate themselves with in this verse. Paul said, if you're going to walk with the Lord, if you're going to have the joy of knowing Christ, he said in verse 17, you need to follow me. Is that not what he said in verse 17? Be ye followers together of me. You know what Paul was saying in that verse? He said, find a godly minister and follow them. Be followers together of me. The Hebrew writer tells us what we should do if we find a godly minister. He said in chapter 13, verse 17, you should obey them. Chapter 13, verse 18, you should pray for them. Chapter 13, verse 24, you should salute them or encourage them, because a godly minister will lead you on the path to Jesus Christ. But not only does he tell them to associate with a godly minister, he says associate with godly saints. In verse 17, he said, don't just follow me. He said, but mark them or notice them that walk so as we have walked, and walk with them. Paul wanted them to notice those that walked as he walked and use them as an example. They were to seek out brothers and sisters in Christ who walked with the Lord and walked together with them. You know why it's so important for us to be in church together? It helps us to walk with Jesus Christ. Church's accountability is what it is. It's accountability. I'm less likely to act the fool during the week if I know I'm going to church on Sunday and then people are going to find out about it. Isn't that right? Church's accountability. Hey, we are to find like-minded brothers and sisters, and we are to walk with them. They'll help us grow closer to Jesus Christ. In fact, can I make a suggestion to you? I want to make a suggestion to everybody here tonight. My suggestion is this. If you really want the joy of knowing Christ, here's what you do. You find somebody that is closer to God than you are, and you befriend them. You try to be their friend. Because you know what they will do? They will encourage you to keep up with them. They'll encourage you to catch up with them. They'll encourage you to grow closer to Christ because you have them in your life. The joy of knowing Christ. Number four, write this down. I want you to write down the word finish. I want you to write down the word finish. Paul said in chapter 3, verse 20 and 21, he said, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working wherewith He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself. Finally, Paul reminds them of the day that they'll meet the Lord. You see, the first step we said a minute ago was a step of salvation. It leads to a life that is to walk with Christ, but one day the journey will end when we step into the presence of Jesus Christ. You see, there is a finish, there is an end, there is a goal. And it is the day we meet the Lord. Probably the greatest thing that could cause us to walk with Christ today is if we kept in mind that we might meet Him tomorrow. If we lived every day for eternity, it would change every day that we live. You see, one day, Paul says, we'll meet the Lord face to face. He'll change our bodies. He will welcome us into heaven. And that should motivate us to know Him today. I wouldn't want God or Christ to be a stranger when I met Him in heaven. I would want to have walked with Him so close that I've got that fellowship when I meet Him. You see, not only the fact that we'll meet Christ, but the fact that heaven will be our home. You say, well, I'm facing hardships today. That may be true, but there's a city where no hardships ever come. You may weep tonight, but there'll be no tears in that city. You could be in pain tonight, but there's no pain there. You may face death here, but there's no death there. The greatest joy is the joy of knowing Christ, gaining heaven. Let me ask you a question tonight as I close. Do you have the joy of knowing Jesus Christ? Could you say with Paul, the greatest desire I have is to know Him. And the greatest joy I have is the joy of knowing Jesus Christ. I wonder as we close tonight, we bow our heads and close our eyes. Let me ask you, how is it in your world? How is your fellowship? How is your joy? Do you know Him? Or do you need to start taking some steps in His direction? Maybe you need to forget some things. Maybe you need to pray that God give you someone that could be an inspiration to you. Maybe you need to be reminded of heaven. If you need to pray, this altar's open. You're welcome to come. While we wait for a moment, if anybody needs to pray, you come.